Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word. Welcome, 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 everyone. This is Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio. This is DJ KTE.
And this is Lady Misty in the house. Good night, everybody. I hope you had a great weekend and you are ready to sit at the table with us tonight.
I'm about to say get ready to rumble tonight. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? So how was your day so far, Misty? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was a little busy, but it was good. I had a good weekend. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, we had a great time last week.
Yes, we did.
Back again for some more, I would say, juicy stuff.
Yes.
So I think we happy to hear. For those who are tuned in, we want to get your questions ready and we're ready to chime in and be a part of this segment here. So what do we have Lady Misty?
So tonight we're going to be talking about what is your bedroom brand? If you don't know your bedroom brand, you'll probably find out tonight. And we'll find out if it's important to have a brand and what's your brand like? Does it match your personality or not? So we'll be talking about that tonight. We want to say a big shout out as I go into saying thanks to our sponsors. We want to say a big shout out to all those who are watching us live on YouTube. So all my YouTube fam, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And we are so happy that you're here. So continue to be with us, sending your questions, your comments as the show goes along. Further on, we do want to thank our sponsors, UME Digital Media Inc. And you can check them out at www.umedigitalmediainc.com. Mm-hmm. We also want to thank Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass. And you can check out our coach Raquel at www.mycoachministry.com and check out their courses on Udemy. We also want to thank Royal Events.
Yeah.
Yes. Hmm. Celebrating life one event at a time. And if in case you have a moment, a marriage, you're getting married, all that niceness, you can check them out at www.marshajnow.com/events. And you can find all the niceness there. So we want to thank our sponsors one more time. UME Digital Media Inc. We want to thank them. So also tonight we have some lovely, lovely guests lined up to talk to us about our bedroom branding and how we gonna dissect that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the word, dissect, huh?
We're gonna spin it around.
All right.
But right now we're moving straight into our hot, hot topics.
Mm-hmm.
And our hot topic tonight is courtesy of blacklove.com, from dating to relationships to finance and marriage. What's 360 degrees of black love and more on blacklove.com.
I think the only intentionality for me was to be there, to make sure that I was there, that I was present, and that I was able to give her some level of comfort. And we had done a Lamaze class, so I at least was like, I knew how to rub her, like, breathe. but as I think about what I know now, like, I didn't know shit. It was like, it was almost offensive to think about how I showed up. It just made sense. I think she felt better about it. I felt better about it. And then the birth itself, you know, our home midwife gave us the kit. We got the tub. We had all the supplies. We knew what our plan was. We had our pre-birth. We had our pre-labor playlist. I had gone and bought this crazy light setup, so that I could create scenes with lights based on what her mood was and where she was. And we had candles that were consistent with, you know, what she liked smelling as a pregnant woman versus what she used to like smelling as a non-pregnant woman. And then we also had the birthing playlist, which was very different from the pre-birth playlist.
We have two natural childbirths. Both of them transpired in our bedroom, on the bedroom floor. Andrew, our first child, was born at 2:23 in the morning. Amari was born at 5:40 in the afternoon. We knew that we wanted to have natural childbirth each time. Mm-hmm. Because Ryan made me watch, or not made me watch, he said, watch this with me. And we watched The Business of Being Born, right? Ricky Lake's documentary about how things were being geared towards C-sections in hospitals, and they hit you with Pitocin, and then the contractions get more intense, and then all of a sudden they got to go in, snip, snip, snip. Right. And she said, I don't want that. She said, I would love to have my babies naturally. I think that my body is meant for this. I said, I support you, right? And what I wasn't prepared for was the level of strong opinions of people who thought that we were cuckoo for couples, right? So we went to a birthing center and we took birthing class. And what I love about the midwifery practice is there's something very whole person about it. It wasn't just sort of going in every 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 4 weeks for a checkup and doctor telling you you're good, you got checking your vitals, doing a quick ultrasound or what have you. But you're there, like, they took your blood pressure. They asked, like, how you were eating, how you've been drinking with your water. You know, have you been exercising? Like, there's something very catering to the whole person. So it put Ryan at ease in a way that her OBGYN by himself could not.
I have three completely different childbirthing experiences. I started doing research and I found out about natural birthing and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, maybe we should just go the natural route because the babies came out so fast, maybe she didn't need the epidural. So then with Cairo, we decided we're gonna go natural. We spoke to our doctor, still was gonna go to the hospital, but we weren't gonna go there immediately and get the epidural and lay in the bed. Mm-hmm. So we decided to labor at home. So with Cairo, we went full term. Her water broke in the morning. I woke up. I said, okay, let's go through the labor process. Couldn't even get to the hospital, Cody. We jump in the car. By the time I'm driving and she's in the car with me, Cairo starts to crown. Just like Jackson was crowning when we were in the hospital. So Cairo's crowning. I'm flying to the hospital, running red lights. We get to the front door. I go to park the car. By the time I get back to the hospital, Cairo's already out screaming. And I missed him coming out because it happened that fast. But she had no bleeding. She didn't have to have no medication. Because she didn't do the epidural or anything like that, we were in the hospital and we were out in about, I think, 48 hours. We didn't take any medication. They tried to offer us, you know, Tylenol. We didn't take anything. They try to offer us all the medication you were supposed to have, and Kareem was like, yo, I'm good. Let's have my baby. And then once we decided to refuse all the medication, they said, well, we need this bed. Y'all got to go.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Let's Talk Relationships. And we just listened to a clip from blacklove.com, and it's about doula dads. So are doula dads important? Are they not? Who are doulas? And
are
who are doula dads?
You know, it's funny because as you mentioned about doula dads and watching these segments here, and hearing each person talk about their experience, and you look at how we are sometimes portrayed as Blacks, especially in media, you know, on TV, you know, hardcore, you know, gangster-like, you know, rough and not being sensitive and understanding and caring. So it's really nice to hear this, you know, this perspective. Men who, Black men, you know, like myself, who decide to make that sacrifice to understand their woman, understand what it takes to make them be comfortable, especially carrying a baby. I mean, that is one of the most, to me, the most amazing thing, the most amazing process to bring forth a life. So you know what women go through, a lot of stuff. So to have someone, a man there to really, you know, be the rock and stand by her and support her in that way, I think it's I mean, it's plausible. You know, it's really a great thing. Yeah, what do you think?
You know, what's so heartwarming for me is just the fact, like as you said, these partners, because I don't know if all of them are husbands, but these partners really took the time to learn about a woman's body and to learn about the process of pregnancy and childbirth. And we know that as Black women, as I'm a Black woman, it's harder for us to go through that birthing process. And majority of us go through that process alone. We're always alone in the hospitals. We end up, you know, alone through that process. And it is really heartwarming to see that these partners take the time, because, you know, a doula is somebody that really, really is with you through that whole emotional process and that physical process as well, as you go through the different changes your body goes through during that whole birthing experience. And I don't have any children yet, but I'd love to have my husband be my doula.
But you know, Lady Misty, the thing is that you know, this is a whole new level, because I think about when I went to my support, you know, and when I went to Lamar's class, you know, the basic how to breathe, and you know, basically, you know, to go there to a visit and so forth. But these couples here, I mean, it's a whole new level. It's a whole new. I didn't even know this was like this.
I didn't know either. We learned something. We learned something.
Yeah. So this is really another level of really being almost empathetic, really being there, present. And I think it makes such a difference. And to see Black men, this is definitely we want to see more of this.
I think it's important for the men to be there. I think it strengthens the relationship between themselves and their partners, because they are so into the whole experience. Yes. So they see, they have a first-hand knowledge of the situation. They are present. And I think it's important for the dads to be there at the birth of their children.
Yeah.
You know, I think it does something to a man as well, you know. So
when I saw my son, you know, and I held in my hand right there when he came out, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So it is an empowering experience. It's a very powerful and connecting experience.
That's it. So I'm for it. I am so for it.
Doula dads.
I hope that more dads take this on and, you know, are willing to go through with their partners to just learn, just be willing to learn about what a woman goes through. Because there's so much that a woman goes through physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, during the time of pregnancy and up to the time of even childbirth and even post post-childbirth. Yeah. So it's a very, you know, empowering experience, as you said, and we are for it. We are for it on Let's Talk Relationships. So.
Yep, and that's what we're about. We're about trying to inform, be informative, and empower folks with hopefully new information, because someone said, if you don't know, you just don't know.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know.
Yeah. All right, so we're moving into a break right now. Before we talk to our guest, we have a very special woman in the house tonight, and we're going to be talking to her as we delve into our topic for tonight. What is your bedroom brand? Do you know? Do you know? If you know, share it with us.
If you don't know,
we're going to learn tonight.
And welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships. In tonight's episode, we want to discuss bedroom branding. Yes, you heard me correctly. Well, we know a brand is anything that embodies you, your likes, interests, and passion. Dr. Carla Dunbar, in her book Sexcriptions, defined and described some brands specific to the bedroom. These are Kittenish, which is about pouting lips, a soft walk that whispers, exotic, bold and beautiful, taking nice baths, known again, lap dancing, pole dancing, and even belly dancing with several sexual positions up your sleeve, spreading your intensity around like frosting on a cake. Elegant, wearing fine perfume, simple hairstyle, flowing lingerie, arching your graceful long neck when offering a kiss and gliding your fingers all over your husband or spouse's skin, as though admiring Catherine Leather upholstery. Or sporty, flaunting your athletic body, tight-fitting jeans and t-shirt, sporty spandex, or while watching a show with him or her, allowing your aerobatic abilities are possibilities to swift across your spouse's active and erotic imagination. And fairy, which is just smart or wild, using your vibrators or whip, making your own erotic movies that they would not expect what is coming next. Or you could be a combination of all. We want to know if persons have their own bedroom brand, or if they have a combination. Let's hear what they had to say.
Hi, I'm Tash. Thanks for having me. Now on the topic of bedroom branding. Well, I think that bedroom branding is a topic that many are unaware of. And for me personally, I think bedroom branding is very important to identify your sexual character and to also give your partner insights of your preferences. Now, bedroom branding is putting into words the mental, spiritual, and body language of an individual, which allows a better interpretation by categorizing individual based on one or a combination of portrayal of body language towards their partner. Well, for me personally, I'm more of on the elegant side, you know. I love soft touching and, you know, wearing sexy lingeries and, you know, wearing nice lotions and perfumes, you know. I like to give massage and body strokes and, you know, all those things to help get my partner in the mood. So I am more of the elegant side. And that is my take on bedroom branding.
Bedroom brand to me is just the preferred styles, or you know what is unique to you and your husband in the bedroom, you know? What is it that is your flavor and style? And do I think it is important? Of course. If you keep your marriage nice and thing, if you make sure you and your partner are compatible and nice up on the sex life and all of these wonderful things, of course, it is very important. It is super important. And you know, to switch up your brands one and two times, you know, the more you learn, the more you try. Do I have one or a combination of? Well, based on what I've seen, I would say we're sporty, and then we really, really can be unpredictable a lot of times. I don't think we have a specific brand. Just know that, you know, we have our own little version of Black Freak. This message was brought to you by Renacy Blackstock.
I like that. Lady Misty, before we go further, let me just say this real quickly. Yes. Just to make a slight correction. One of our sponsors to Yumi Digital, their website is yumidigitalinc.com.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for the correction, DJ. All right. Before we go to our guest, do you have a bedroom brand, DJ?
I'll let ladies go first and I go last. I'm trying to be a doula dad.
You're trying to be a doula dad? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Let's go first.
All right. Personally, I think I have a mixture of brands. I can be elegant and, you know, I can be fiery. Other times I'm sporty. It depends on the mood. So.
Oh, so you're like a combination of.
Yeah, I'm a combination.
So
yeah,
flexible
black,
and
my own version of Black Freak.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
All right.
I love that.
Awesome.
All right, so we are going to be talking to our guest tonight, and our guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Remesia McGee.
Yeah, all right.
I hope I pronounced her first name correctly.
Well, I would say Dr. McGee to be safe.
Yeah, right. She is authority in education, leadership, management, and she is a Black Excellence awardee. So good night, Doc.
Good to have you. How are you feeling today? How is it where you are? What's the weather like?
It's nice. It's like 89. It's 6 p.m. here, 6:30 p.m. here, so it's still nice and bright.
There
so I tried okay, where you could, so the sun wouldn't be so far. But yeah, it's nice. Beautiful day.
Very nice. Well, we're really glad to have you, and we thank you for accepting our invitation.
Yes.
We really, really welcome you here on this segment, and we know it's going to be great.
All right, so Doc, I know you have a very, very rounded educational background. You have a PhD in education, right?
Yeah, I have an EdD in education leadership management. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right, so you are well educated. So my first question to you tonight is, do you think bedroom branding is important? Is it a thing? Should it be a thing? Should it not be a thing?
That, you know, that's a really good question. I guess I never thought about bedroom branding. But it's
right.
So funny that this conversation, because I was having a conversation with one of my girlfriends. Shout out
right.
to you, come online. And we were talking about dating, and I was like, my bedroom is my sanctuary. So for me, as a single
that's
woman,
right.
recently mm-hmm. single woman, like, my bedroom brand is my sanctuary. It's my peace. It's my my tranquility. It is all of that. So I think that mm-hmm. sometimes when people think about brand, it's what your brand, what you stand for. So that's what my bedroom stands for. So everybody is not allowed to come in my bedroom. Everybody's mm-hmm. not allowed to sit on my bed. Everybody's uh-huh. not allowed to enter this threshold. So I think it's important to have If you don't have a bedroom brand, I think you could come up with one.
Yes.
I mean, and if you are, you know, it should be an expression of who you are. It should be an expression of your sexuality. It can be an expression of your individuality as well. So I do think it's important.
Do you think it's who has the more pressure to create a brand, a woman or a man, when it comes on to the bedroom? I know there's a lot of pressure on the woman, you know, to be sexy and to be...
Right. You know, when I was married, shout out to all my divorcees. We survived, we got this. but when I was married, I think the pressure was mine. My ex-husband loved lingerie. I hated lingerie. I thought it was pointless, but if you want me to put this stuff on, I guess I'll put it on. it wasn't that I just disliked it, it's just that it was something that I didn't think I needed to do. But, you know, but it's funny because, like, the older I'm getting, the more I'm getting into stuff like that. I actually ordered today from Fenty Time X Beauty, Savage Beauty, whatever it's called. Because I'm like, oh, you never know. So I would like to be prepared.
I understand. So essentially you're saying it's good to know your brand and have that conversation with your partner, because you're saying it's not something that you were particularly interested in, but your partner was. So how important is that conversation? Like, my brand may not be what you like, or your brand may not be what I like. Do I need to know and be comfortable with my brand before I discuss it with my partner, or is it, you know, something we learn together? What do you think?
I think that it goes back with knowing your partner's love language. It's in the same realm, right?
Nice.
So if you know what I mean? You can tie it all together. So if you know that your partner is into, I don't know, like music, you know, soothing music, well, then maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you like a little ratchet. Maybe you like a little, you know.
I got you.
Making it rain on you a little bit or something, you know, you twerking. Maybe that's what you like, but that's not necessarily what he's into. But you can come to, I guess, a middle ground, a nice compromise. Maybe in the beginning you start off real hype and ratchet, and then, you know, by the end you done slowed it down and got more, I guess, more romantic in a sense that he likes. And do I think that's a conversation that needs to happen? Absolutely. But I think that conversation should happen in the beginning, or maybe in the middle of your relationship, or however long. I do think your brand changes over time, because what you may used to like as a younger couple, you may not necessarily like as a more seasoned couple, you know.
Yes.
So something, you know, you might like to used to go out on dates a whole lot. Maybe that's something that you love to do. And then at night, you know, your bedroom, your brand is that, right? You go and you make love or whatever. You know, sometimes you can't be like that. You go out to eat, you have a good time, you both fall asleep on the couch. It just be like that sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and so I think having those conversations of the changing of your bedroom brand, if you have one, the changing of your love language, because that changes over time as well. What you needed at a 20-something may not be what you need or want at a 30-something. So I think that that's very important for you to have those sort of check-in conversations. With your partner, and for those folks that are single like myself and are dating, I think that that's something that you can have as a nice little fun conversation. It doesn't have to be no pressure, just to see where people's head is at.
Yes, and you know, you could probably speak to this, because we're in a culture where it's performance driven. You know, all night long, baby, rub your title, three days in a row, and you know, a lot, this kind of stallion kind of, you know, horse kind of thing. But I'm wondering. And of course, you have those who already were introduced to different things, like maybe pornography. So they had this image of what it's supposed to be, and, you know, and they want to, I guess, bring this fantasy into that bedroom, not knowing who they really are themselves. So, so how would you address the issue of people having this performance mentality, you know, and I believe it's well overrated, and the reality of what it's really about.
Right. And for those folks that indulge in porn, that is a myth. Okay. Ain't nobody doing all of that for no long period of time. I have read about that because I was really curious to know. And again, my cousin and I was having this conversation. I was like, I really want to know, do these people really how many times do you think a person has been penetrated, these women, and are they still feeling pleasure after so long? And I was looking up research, right? Because I'm really trying to find out. Couldn't find anything, came across them. Nonetheless, that's really not reality. And I think it's a very different thing of having sex versus making love. Those are two different things, right?
Yes,
so you gotta put a making love situation with your partner or whatever should be a spiritual healing process. It should not be a recipe. It should not be something that you're comparing to. It should make you feel euphoric at the end. And I think that having a conversation with your partner about what you like or what you don't like. So if the performance is poor and you feel like yours is stellar, somebody is off. And if you really connected in that way, let's just say if you're married, you're supposed to be one, so your partner should know you. But there are a lot of people who are in relationships who sometimes women feel very muzzled in a way that they don't want to tell their partner that, you know, you doing it like that ain't really right. But they're accepting it because they say, like, we're married or we've been together forever and it's just gonna be this way. And that's not necessarily a good thing, because you are putting a false sense of security in the bedroom or in intimacy with your partner, and that is not cool. So you have to talk, you have to say something. Now, do I think sex or making love should be performance driven? You both should feel great at the end. No one should feel used, no one should feel abused, no one should feel cheated. No one should feel like the other person was selfish in a way. And intimacy doesn't necessarily have to be a bedroom experience all the time. There are very various ways of being intimate. There are various ways of being, quote, performing. And I think you have to have those very critical conversations and be really honest with the person you're with. Now, if you doing it yourself, clearly you got some conversation to have with yourself if things ain't working out for you.
Yeah, true, 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 true.
I got you.
I want to go back to the store, you know, explore some other things if that's not what's working for you. But I do think those conversations, and they can be non-pressure. I think for so long, people feel like these conversations are pressured. And it's a real easy way, or at least I think if you are with someone, you should be able to be totally vulnerable with them, totally naked with them. And I'm not talking about in a physical sense, but totally naked and say, you know what? This, the way we're doing it is not healthy for me. It's not pleasing me. I'm not being pleased. Maybe you are, but for me, it's not. And if that person really cares about you and they really want to please you and they really want both of you all's performances to be stellar and feel great at the end, then I think those conversations should happen. And I think they should happen sooner versus later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're right. I think that's a great point you're making there, because I believe it's a very complex issue. Many people struggle in that area, but because there's no conversation, you know, then you have a buildup of anger and buildup of folks not feeling okay. And then when it finally comes out, you know, it's one big eruption of blaming, and, you know, the healing doesn't take place. I mean, there are people who are, like I said, they've changed, maybe to diet, some maybe to illness, some to medication. You know, I know someone who had issues. And the dad didn't know that a pill was affecting him that way. So mom started blaming dad, hey, you're not doing the right thing here. And he's saying, I don't know what's going on. Eventually, when they found out, that was the issue. So they went and changed that medication, changed that thing. Now they're okay. So there's so many variables to this thing to have a healthy brand, I think. And also, a lot of people, they are multifaceted. You know, they express themselves differently at different times. And so it really, as you said, down to the conversation is very, very important. Be transparent and let the person know what's in your mind, and let them at least give them that respect to make a choice, you know, how they're going to treat it.
Exactly. Now, the other thing is, if the person is not willing to adjust or modify after you've had that conversation, then there's probably some deeper issues in that way. A lot of times people don't want to modify, and sometimes sex or performance can become very robotic. And I think they're doing it for the sake to say, hey, we're doing it, right? Or there are people in relationships or marriages that are having horrible sex, horrible intimate moments, and they just feel stuck. And again, feeling that muzzle mentality, and they just feel like they can't say anything. And you're yes. right, there are all kinds of things that affect people. I know when if you're going through a health situation, financial situation, job, everything that can occur. If you've had children, things change. I know that when my younger brother moved in with my ex-husband and I, you know, for me, I did not want to be intimate with him while my brother was in the house, because my biggest fear was my brother coming in and seeing me in a compromised position. I mean, really. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I can't do that. I would not. Let's just wait till he go to school. Now, he's in high school, but I didn't want that image in his head or in his ear. So I was like, let's just wait. You know, let's just wait. So there, and again, that changed because there was another person now in the home, right? Mm-hmm. There's a modification there. That's a change in which how we are going to interact. And that's a conversation that you just have to have. If you are in school or you're going through, you're working on a doctoral or a master's or a bachelor's, whatever you're doing, sometimes that can take a damper on your sex life or intimate life with your partner as well. That mm-hmm. conversation has to happen. And I think just not being afraid to have a conversation with someone. I think that is imperative. And then it lets the person know that you really care. Like, yeah, I really want to be satisfied. I want to satisfy you. You know, what can we do to satisfy each other? What can we do to bring that oneness back, that freshness back? Or what do we need to do to liven it up or spice it up? Or maybe sometimes it's too spicy. Everybody ain't into some stuff. You know, everybody ain't into into some freaks, and it's some
very true
going on out here. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Everybody.
But it's true, because I remember before. I mean, when I was married, and like you mentioned earlier, you're working, you have kids, you come home, you're tired. We've gone to restaurants before, came back, and she was just tired. And what I would do at some time, I would say, you know what? If we don't go there, can we just do this? Something lighter, something different. So it's about compromising too. You know, we don't have to go all the way to having a moment of intimacy. So mm-hmm. I had to let her know, it's okay. You're tired, and well, can your fingers move? Can your hands move? Can your toes move? You know, can something move? Yeah. You know, it will help. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of share, and sometimes you just let it be. You know what? Tonight's not going to happen. It's okay. Yes. Get your rest. So
maybe in the morning. And let me get some rest.
You know what I'm saying?
In the morning. I have another question. You know, I know that Dr. Maggie, you know, I know she would have some experience with the Black community. And in preparing for tonight's show, I, you know, just had a light discussion with some males, because I wanted to get their perspective about what their brand is as men. All right.
I'll go first.
Black males are branded as, you know, not being lovers. So they just have one brand, basically. You know, they are whitewashed with one brand. They are just all for stamina and performance, as DJ was saying. And usually their partners get left behind because they feed off, their brand feeds off the music and their friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what they were taught are how to be a man. You are not considered a man if you are not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or if you're not, if you're not a, you know, long distance scholar. As we say over here in Jamaica. But, you know, how important is it for men, especially for men, to understand their own brand, be willing to change, and understand the brand of their partner?
Well, I can speak to that. Just being me, a male, if you don't mind me just sharing from
go ahead, DJ. Go ahead.
So as a man, I'm going to deep my voice now. As a man,
I know you're the exception to this. Go ahead.
So what I learned, well, I was born in Jamaica.
Yes.
I came here to the U.S. when I was about in my teens, 15. So right. I had enough of the Jamaican culture. I read enough of the music, the Bob Marley, the Peter Tosh. You know, the music, the culture, the food, the customs.
Yes.
And when I came here, also got to learn the American culture as well. So I had both of those fused into how would I find myself now, center myself as a male. And so as I got older and started reading books and started being exposed, and also I was always very curious. And so I learned a lot. I realized that I became very sensitive and started becoming, because I had cousins who used to watch these soap operas, General Hospital, One Life to Live, Edge of Night. So I saw how men, they were so delicate and how they were so sensitive towards these women. So that gave me an idea how could be, you know, as be the kind of a male that was empathetic, loving.
So it changed your brand.
Yes, it changed my brand. So I did understand the idea of being that, that stallion from back home, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I was able to have a balance. So what happened with me when I started dating was my language was very palatable. So I didn't come off as a show-off, egotistical, I'm the man. But they could hear that where my goals, where my ideas were. And for them, it was very appealing, at least.
Yeah.
Started, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Balance, you know, that's important. So, Doc, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, it's different. I think it depends on age. It's generational.
Okay.
So what you know, maybe your grandparents did to get in the mood or whatever, quote, a brand they had, is very different from what we would do now. And it's probably going to be very different from what my brother would do, who is 20, about to be 22. So I think and he's growing up in a generation where men are at least seeming to be more empathetic or sensitive to a woman and to women's needs. My brother put up a post. This was like, shout out to my brother, Jonathan. He on here. he put up a post on Instagram a long time ago. Maybe it's like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it is not a woman's job to be a rehabilitation center, a Black woman's job to be a real rehabilitation center for Black men. And I'm like, that now he at that time was like 18 or 19. Now how he know that at 18 or 19, that's around here in their 30s and 20s can't seem to get it right. So I think that's probably a lack of mentorship, right? The music, a lot of the music that generationally what people are listening to, my generation, I'm a millennial, they ain't listening to a lot of that Marvin Gaye. They ain't listening to that, you know? My dad's generation did, right? They listening to, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe Bands and Make Her Dance. And hey, for some people, Barrel, that might be what they want to hear. Juicy J, Bands and Make Her Dance. That might be what's their brand. So I think it really depends on the generation. And well, you might meet someone who is young but has a very old soul and loves that old soulful music that puts them in a mood in a more sensitive, empathetic way. But that is not always the case. But you got some rough ones out here, you know, and I think you like you said, those long sprinters, you know, I think that culturally Black men are known to be should be Mandingo warriors, right? They should be well endowed. They should be willing to go the extra mile. They should be able to go the extra mile. And I think sometimes maybe if a woman doesn't get that, then it destroys the myth of what they thought. And then a man who does not know how to do that, it destroys the myth of who they think they are, which is a total self-esteem downer, right? Mm-hmm. It makes them feel, you know, not less of a man. So I think, again, those critical conversations and men really getting to know who they are. If you know that certain things are not okay with you sexually, intimately, spiritually, I think having that conversation, do the work. A lot of men don't want to do the freaking work. They rather just move on to the next chick, you know, and bang her lights out or lack thereof, you know. And I think that men have to want to do the work, and they should do the work. And they should do it while they're young. So when they do meet that special someone, I ain't got to put together a broken man.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Dr. McGee, you know, something that came to my mind is that, and this is more of a serious note, looking at the history, you know, of the individual, because, you know, sometimes their trauma, you know, it is said out of every four women, we have X amount that's been abused, sexual abuse. So you have individuals and you have males also who enter this with trauma, unresolved issues. And so therefore, you have this thing again, conversation. Yes. One who has the history needs to be addressed and dealt with. There are many people go to counselor, just may talk about finances. You may talk about, ought to be a strong, plan for vacations and plan for the kids' education and plan to be a great wife or husband. But they never dove in this history of the trauma that might have taken place in that young male or female's life. Now here they're married now, and it's one big conflict going on.
And that's why it's imperative to do the work. I think the longer that you are single or alone, you work on yourself, the better you will be in relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry, Doc. Just to piggyback on what DJ Katie is saying, and you too, Doc. We have a comment from on our YouTube page, and it's from Head Girl Heel Girl Heel. Shout out to Heel Girl Heel, and he or she is saying, okay, good night. So she's saying people also have to consider history, just like what you were saying. If there has been a sexual trauma prior to being with someone, hopefully people feel comfortable enough to release and trust their partner who will understand. And, we're talking about conversation, just having that conversation. So shout out to that comment. That was a good one.
Absolutely. That is critical. And I also think, knowing traditionally, maybe their family history. Some people come from very abusive homes. Some people come from single parents where they never seen their mother or father together or in a loving relationship. So they don't know how. And again, that is why it is imperative for individuals to do the work. And it's the stigma in the Black community that we don't need therapy or da-da-da-da, we don't trust God.
Yes,
and that's
true,
all good. And I see God give you a lot of tools out here to use, therapists being one of them. And you got to get a good one so that you can really feel free and you can feel safe enough to disclose, right? Yes. And then once you get through that hurdle, then you will feel safe enough, as my source said, safe enough to be patient with the person who have maybe experienced sexual trauma. So you're patient with your partner and saying, listen, I'm not ready to go there yet. And I think you don't even have to go into it right away, but I think down the line, those conversations, I was getting ready to go on a date with somebody, and the man gave me all his information. I mean, he told me everything. In fact, he told me about some sexual trauma that happened to him as a boy. And I thought, it was like the first conversation. It was like heavy. And I was like, I was just asking, what's your favorite color and what's your zodiac sign? Real life.
He just unloaded.
He was like, but that don't affect me now. I got it together. And I'm like, that's good. Let me know you get it completely together. Call me back. But him probably disclosing, maybe because he hasn't had an opportunity to disclose to someone. And for me, maybe that was the only reason why God put us in each other's paths, for that main reason. For him to be able to be comfortable to say it out loud and to know that it's okay.
And that's a part of the healing process,
And I'm grateful to be a part of his healing process, if that's what it was. Even if it's just to say it out loud and hear a woman say, that's okay. Because I was like, oh, wow, I said, I'm very happy that you're still here and I'm glad that you are a survivor. Maybe he's never heard that. Maybe he's heard other things in his life, I ain't write them off, but I just was like, let me know you get this already. Everything else.
All right, good. All right, great. I think we have a caller. I hope she's there. We have a comment from our calling from Sharon or Sharon.
Ashley, Sharon Ashley. Yeah, if you hear
Sharon Ashley,
could you introduce yourself? If you're here, if you can hear us.
Is she here?
You might want to unmute so we can hear you. Let's unmute you. There you go.
There you go.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
We're not hearing. Are you? Sharon, are you there? Good night. Did we lose her?
She's still here. I see her.
Okay.
Maybe she walked away because her icon is still here.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's a very interesting topic. It's something that we definitely need to have more of.
Yes, because, definitely.
You know, we are known not to speak, you know, yes. And expect to, you know, someone to act appropriately without getting to know what's going on. So,
you know, and I think the expectations, the unrealistic expectations, and also just the overall experience, in my view, will be better once we have that conversation and understand each other's brands. Because if my partner understands my brand or brands, depending on, you know, the mixture, and I understand his, the experience would be way better once we have that conversation and we understand each other's likes, dislikes, turn-ons, turn-offs, all of those things. It would be so much greater.
But I think people also have to feel comfortable with having those conversations too. You know, some people don't necessarily just feel comfortable and or safe. Or maybe they're so yes. used to being not heard that even if they do say it, they're going to feel like the person hasn't heard and listened to them.
Okay, we have a question from a listener. And the question says, what happens when a fiery bedroom personality or behavior blurs the line between the fiery brand and being violent?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, establishing boundaries, having some type of safe words going on.
That's right.
You know, you
that smack came to my mind.
I'm not with getting smacked in my face. You know, for some people, maybe that's a return. I'm serious. I'm telling you, some people out here into some things, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe having those conversations about boundaries, having safe words, having good touch, bad touch. You know, some people maybe like backdoor activity.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't with it. You know, so maybe having that conversation, but maybe your partner wants to explore that in a way. Or if you don't say anything, maybe they think that it's okay. And sometimes things can get out of hand and go too far.
It goes back to conversation.
Conversation. I think safe words and boundaries are essential in the bedroom.
Yeah. Yes.
For the brain.
Yes.
So to our listener, I hope that answers your question. Yes, DJ.
I was thinking that I think the one thing I think that kills a lot of us relationship wise is that we do have our own, we call it perception, right? Our own expectations. But the key is that no matter what you think or feel, be open that it may be different. Be open that it may not be what it is, what you think it is. Because oftentimes we get surprised, but he looked buff. So it must be a big dude. It must be a good dude. You know, she looks this way. She looks this way. So she must be this. She must be freaky. It must be that. When in reality is far from the truth. So,
yes.
So with all our expectations, we go open with an open mind, knowing that my mom always say, to see me and live with me is a completely
different
thing. You know,
that's
and even
right.
though I don't advocate for someone living together, I can see why couples do it. I can see the benefit of it at some point by knowing the person to some degree, you know, before just diving into something new together, trying to figure it out, you know. So, hey,
living together is a whole nother
thing. It's a whole nother. Yeah,
it's another book. But I can see the pros in it to some degree. Seeing the person operate in a very, you know, one-on-one, everyday kind of thing. But
I think before you could even get into sort of a bedroom brand, you might want to go back to a relationship brand. Like, what does that look like?
That's a good perspective.
Because you don't want to necessarily just start laying with folks. And again, that's why I said my bedroom is my place of peace. You know, I think it is my tranquility. I don't necessarily let people sit all on my bed. I don't know what kind of spirit folks is carrying. And you ain't ready to leave this thing on my bed and have me tossing and turning all night and I can't get no rest. Because now my bed where my sanctuary has been disturbed. So I think that is important. Even before you go into a bedroom brand, you have a relationship brand. What does that look like? What does that feel like? What does that entail?
Yes.
What is that love language? What is that friendship language? What are those boundaries? What are the traumas? Just really building into something. And a lot of that takes courtship and it takes time. And we're in this microwave society where it's like, okay, let's go on a few dates or whatever. Let's kick and chill, Netflix and chill. okay, now let's have sex. Okay, that seemed like that was okay. Now we maybe let's get married, let's engage, and let's get married, or let's have a kid. There is no long period of courtship. Mm-hmm. And that's when things get, like, she could be violent in the bedroom, because you're like, I was not expecting to get choked up in here tonight. Not what I've been through.
You know, Dr. McGee. You keep it real. You keep it real. As a matter of fact, let me give a shout out to Vinny, who's listening on Podbean. Yeah, shout out to you.
Good night, Vinny. Yes, you know, yes. We are out of time, Doc, but I want to thank you so much for coming in. And from India. Vinny's from India, all right?
Yeah.
So shout out to Vinny. Doc, we want to say thank you so much for coming on tonight.
He was an amazing guest, I tell you.
Yeah, and keep it real with us. Yes. We are so grateful for you too.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. And
come on in and share your truth with us. We are grateful for that.
Somehow I see you, Doctor. Some future connection is going to happen, because I just like the energy. I like the vibe. I just like what you have to say.
Yes.
But I see something going on.
All great things.
Yes. There you go.
That's right. In Jesus' name.
You were really wonderful tonight. Thank you so much, Dr. McGee, for being here with us and this soul relationship.
Thank you all. Thank you, Lady Misty and DJ K. I appreciate you guys so much.
You are most welcome.
Have a good night.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Stay safe. All right.
You too. Bye bye.
I remember the water. Drink your water now. Lots of water.
I know. Lots of water. I'm on.
There you go.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Let's talk.
Relationships. On You, Me, Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Argument.
Yes, we're back. We're back, Lady Misty.
Yes, we are back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships. I'm your Lady Misty.
And this is DJ KTE. On fire.
Right. And we are going straight into our life moment segment. And with us tonight, we have a beautiful couple. We have the Miles with us.
The Miles. Go.
Miles, yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, awesome.
Hi, we have Kevin and Marsha Miles with us tonight. And they are celebrating 1 mile down, right? First anniversary.
1 year. Congrats, man.
One year.
Some don't make it a week, you know, right? Some don't make it 1 week. So, hey, you know what? We're doing great here.
Yes. For those of you who are listening on radio or on Podbean and not seeing our guests tonight, I saw them vibing away to that Anita Baker song. I almost went to call my husband.
Yeah, I hate. So, lady, what are we here to talk about tonight? What is she here to talk about tonight? Can we just address that real quick?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're here to talk about, you know, their journey 1 year so far, and what it's been like in marriage kingdom. So, Mr. and Mrs. Miles, good night.
Good night, Lady. And
it's so nice to have you. I hope you're doing well. How are you guys feeling? It's 1 year. How are you feeling? Are you excited? Do you want to go another year? I want to give this up. I don't bother. I don't feel like I want to bother. How are you feeling?
I'll let you let the man of the house answer first.
All right. There you go.
Well, giving up is nowhere in our
Yay!
All right now.
I'm cheering you on.
I know, even though it's our first milestone, our first journey, it's been a journey. And thanks be to God, you know, who has always been and has been the center of our life, our relationship, and also our marriage. He has been there with us from the start until now. We are at
that's great. Point,
and he has been keeping us and providing for us. And I mean, we just hope for, we just continue, not even hope for, we know we're going to be a lot more journey, a lot more milestone once we have him in our midst.
Amen. No, Marsha, I want to hear from, hold on, DJ. I want to hear from Marsha.
I'm excited. How are you? I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly, I'm looking forward to it. He said it perfectly. And key is just having God in the center, because it's so critical. He absolutely brought us together, and I am confident that, you know, as we keep our eyes on him, we'll continue and be okay. And like he said, we'll be thriving. And certainly with a pandemic in the midst of the first year, if the pandemic hasn't broken us, I'm sure we're gonna be fine.
There you go.
Praise the Lord.
I made a real interesting observation. When the stunk started, I saw both your eyes kind of collided. Y'all looked at the same time. I was watching real close, and I'm like, something happened there. What about the song that made you guys smile and look the way you did? What happened there? Let's talk about that.
Well, first and foremost, this should have been our wedding song. It wasn't played on the day. So just to hear this song again, it just brings back memory from the first. It has been lovely, and
the
song, I mean, you know, it has connected us back to that day.
That's nice.
Yes. Awesome. You've been together for a year, and you know, I know there's a popular saying that Simeon can't live with me at two different something. So, you know, how challenging has it been, you know, just learning each other, learning, you know, your different, you know, languages, even through the pandemic? What has that been like? You know, you want to tear your hair out, Marsha. You want to tear your hair out, Kevin. Even though I don't see much hair, but you want to tear your beard out.
like myself. Huh? We're going bald all the way. No restrictions. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes.
But what are some of the challenges? You know, I know being a married woman myself, you know, they always tell us that, you know, the first year of marriage is usually the hardest. So, you know, what's that been like?
Personally, I think I would agree.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't know that. I actually am a person, and I think we are persons that we decide to just affirm what we want to create. So we don't want to be like, oh, everybody says the first year is this and the fifth year is this.
Yes, that's good.
I wasn't accepting any of those. But last week, a friend of mine reached out to me and congratulated us and said, well, the first year is the hardest and you survived it. And I actually had a sigh of relief, because I was like, well, if this was the hardest, well, then good. Because it's behind us and we're not going to be going, you know, we're not falling apart. But it was personally, I think it was a little challenging, simply because the individual was holding on to so much of individualism. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So
that's a nice way of saying it. I was still being very selfish for a long while. So that was the biggest challenge. Just, you know, sharing so much more of myself, my space. I remember into the marriage, my biggest concern really was, we're both Christians, we're both believers. And I was so used to having my time with God every day. And my biggest concern was sharing
that time
with my husband. It took me a while, because I'm very private when it comes to just me and my intimate moments with God. And that was a little scary for me. But
yes,
I don't even know when I became comfortable, but now I'll be in the room praising on my bed, and he's there changing, doing his thing, and I don't know when it came to that point where I'm just like, it's just a part of what it is. But he knows I'm over here, and he's not going to talk to me because he knows I'm over there praying. And whatever, so to have overcome
Okay. Question here, if you don't mind me asking you, I guess you both can answer this question as well. Are there things, maybe the top two or three things that you know that you did not speak about before you get married that you wish you did talk about? Because a part of our show was about conversation and really dialoguing and sharing what we feel, what we think about, whether it's finance, love, church, God, family, and enemies. So are they, would you say the two top things that you wish you had spoke about before you got married and now you realize that, you know, that would have been helpful? They can think of.
Honestly, off the top of my head right now, I can't think of anything really that comes to mind right now. I mean, one thing for me though, and I should say for us, is that within our session, there's one thing that our pastor, who has been our marriage counselor, said to
me
that kind of break the camel's back, or bring it home for me, is that do not go into the marriage with any expectation. Honestly, that just break it down for me. So I just go in, expect that it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
Expect whatever comes with it, and just open and just praying to God and say, whatever comes, you know, we just accept it and just go with it. So I can't think of anything that I didn't or should have spoken about that was done. No.
That's great.
How about you, ma'am?
I'm actually going to agree. I can't, like, you even suggested a few topics and I'm like, okay, we probably did speak about finances, and we had a lot of agreements before, which was a big factor as to why I said yes in the first place. I knew we kind of aligned with when it came to goals and purpose. And so, I mean, it doesn't mean that everything is smooth sailing.
Right.
You know, buckheads, but there wasn't anything that was surprising. That was, I really should have had more conversations about this before. Plus, I can tell you that he's super patient.
Okay.
Maybe I don't feel it because maybe he's absorbing a lot of it because he's way more patient. I'm gonna, you know, he's through, you know, and so on. So maybe. Well, that's good then.
you know, I heard, you know, we spoke about, and that's wonderful, my brother. That's a wonderful thing to be. But we talked a little about what's your bedroom brand. And I'm not sure if you got heard in a part of that segment.
No.
But I heard someone told me, I won't call the name, that every couple in the first year, they have one brand, and that's fiery. So, you know, I'm really interested. How would you address that issue of maybe have you heard the term before, bedroom brand, or something new to you, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's new too.
It's new?
Yeah.
Well, great. So now we can get a real, fresh, direct answer from you, a direct thought or response, if that's the case.
Okay. What is our bedroom brand?
So maybe Lady Missy can give them a little preface, a little idea of what we...
So your bedroom brand is basically, you know, your love language. You know, are you fiery? Are you, you know, a little bit on the exotic side? Are you, you know... on the simpler side, are you adventurous? You know, Dr. Carla Dunbar, you know, she talks about bedroom branding, and you know, there is the kitties version, there is, you know, the sporty side, the acrobatic side. So, you know, and as DJ said, you know, usually the first year we on fire, baby. We on fire. because, you know, you're trying to find out. So how are your brands? How is your personal brands and how do you mesh it? You don't have to go into, you know, details, but.
Like he wanted to, but I'm going to give my skin this message.
I see Marsha like, oh my God, how do we put this into words?
Actually, okay. If I'm going to be honest, I think we're still discovering our brand.
That's good.
Awesome. To see.
And that's good too.
I think that cliche is not what we, meaning the whole fiery. I think each of us, you can agree with me, but I think each of us are still learning to be comfortable with one another. So we're exploring. Because I've been super reserved, and I think he has been, but with, as time is progressing, we're, you know, getting more comfortable. And so I don't think it's going to be a case where it was like this and then it goes like this. I think we're still just going like this.
Building.
Still building up. Yeah.
That's great. I saw your wedding photos, and they're beautiful, by the way.
Oh, yes, they are.
So, you know, 1 year later, you look at those people in the photo. What would you tell them?
I would tell them or her. Do I tell myself or do I tell
anyone? You choose.
I think if more than anything else, I would just tell her probably to just focus more on God. I mean, I don't want to sound like that, but it is what it is. Because if you know our story of how we even came together, or how even wedding happened, it was like miracle back to behind a miracle.
Wow.
Right.
Total peace and perfection on the day. And I don't want to sound cliche, but it is all glory to God, because trust me, it was a beautiful day.
Everything awesome.
Worked out and it was beautiful. So,
great.
But I think personally, if I'm to say anything to that, Marsha, is the same God that kind of took you there, continue to keep your eyes on him every single day, and even going forward, because he blessed you with all of this. And I think I would have stayed more on a high if I had just
understood
and connection and looking
awesome.
At perspective. So that would be my only thing. I think because I got into my feelings and the selfishness and, you know, slipped back into some old, you know?
Yes.
No, I should have just pressed forward, with, you know, press gas on that, what that blessing was, and just stay in that, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Kevin, what would you say to 1 year ago, Kevin?
well, as you see it in the photo where we're doing the planned ceremony there.
Yes, and that's lovely, by the way.
Yeah, and if you look at the writing on the plant that said, "Let your light so shine." And that has stayed with me, not on that day, but from before. And each time I go out in at work on the road, you know, that's just what
one of,
you know, to us, let my light not just shine for me, but shine on my wife, because I'm also a resemblance of her. When I go out there, you know, I'm representing her, and same thing for, you know, so.
Yeah.
Speaking, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. And just let our light just continue shining. And just, as she mentioned about, just continue focusing on God and just depend on him more. And just keep the journey.
That's beautiful. So as you celebrate your 1 year, and as we, you know, just wrap up this conversation with you, what advice would you give to, you know, newlyweds? I know you have said a lot and you're talking about putting God first, but, you know, being through that journey, you know, 1 year down, what would you tell those newlyweds, those, you know, getting married? What would you say to them?
She's thinking.
Outside of putting God first, which is everything, honestly.
Yes.
I would say go at your own pace.
Okay.
Be your own version of marriage. Society will impose a lot.
Yes.
Have a lot of opinions. A lot of hardest year comments. Have a lot of, okay, 6 months now, you should be getting pregnant.
Lord.
Pressures are real. And
I can tell you, I'm 5 years in.
Wow, right. And I would just say, give your give yourself that, create your own pace and give yourself growth and keep learning. Just keep being a student of your partner. Keep being willing to be humble and listen and learn more about them going in, but being open to just discovering more as you're in the journey. I just learned my husband's love language 6 weeks ago through a Bible study.
There you go.
Awesome. And I'm like, what? Like, mm-hmm. I know that. So it's amazing. So you learn and you go, but then don't take offense, because it's not like you're going to know everything. So being willing to continue to learn and grow.
That's right.
All right.
Any words, Kevin?
Well, for me, it's just love each other. And as Marsha mentioned, is that don't listen to the noise that is happening out there. Both of you, you know, individual, learn each other. As you mentioned about the five love language, learn more and more about each other and try to, just as I say, the greatest advice I'll give, just remember, individual is sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice, it's not going to work. You have to give sacrifice and do sacrifice.
Amen to that. Well, I want to say again, guys, congratulations.
Yes.
All the best with your planning. We like to see good relationships. We like to see thriving relationships. And we are so very happy that you were able to share your journey, the little bit of it, with us. We are grateful.
We're happy to have been here. Thank you for having us.
Yes, 1 mile down, many miles to go.
Yes.
We wish you all the best.
Thank you. And my
pastor said one thing that I think that's so amazing. And he said it a couple years ago. And if this would be, a tip for the day, I would say it's try to outlove each other. If you can try to outlove each other, it's like a competition. I'm going to love you more than me. I'm going to wait for you more than me. I'm going to be patient with you more than me. And take that approach. It'll be so seamless. You'll wonder if you've already made heaven and you're still on earth. Okay. You know, so that's an awesome thing. I'm glad to have you guys here. I'm sure you have had challenges before and doing your first year. But apparently I see that you guys have a mindset to learn and grow. And with that, you guys are going to be unstoppable. And you're going to be, what do you call it? Christian power couple.
And we
love it. Yes. No problem. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. That was so awesome.
It really was, great guest.
We really like to see, you know, love evolve in a way where, you know, God is key and you are in tune to each other as partners, and we are so happy to see that. We are so blessed to see that. And just before we go, I just want to share this relationship tip with you. And it says, let me make sure I'm reading it correctly. The first step to any form of love language is the language of communication.
Yeah.
The first step to any form of love language is the language of communication. We break so many barriers. Let's just talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're on. Let's talk relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're just about there, huh?
Yeah, we're just about there. Before we go, we want to say a big shout out to the Stairs. They will be getting married on the weekend. Shout out to you guys. I wish you all the best. You will have a productive and a happy, 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 no stress from the devil day.
Yes.
It's going to be seamless. So shout out to you. Congratulations, guys, as you make this step and as you make this journey into marriage. We love marriage. We love relationships. And we wish you all the best.
And guys, remember, you YouTube guys, fellows, gentlemen, ladies, subscribers, remember, you got to subscribe. Yes. Click the subscribe
button. Thank you to all our listeners tonight, our folks viewing on YouTube, those listening on Podbean. We are so happy you kept our company tonight. We couldn't do it without you.
And on the radio as well. That's right.
Love you. Yes, those who listened on Yumi Radio.
Yes.
Love you. And please stay tuned to Yumi Radio. There are great things happening on this station.
Yes.
And don't forget to like, subscribe, and get the app.
Yes. And we thank you again for our producers, DJ Kelly. We thank you for Marcia J. We thank you for Della Rose. And we're just here to really make it happen as one team, one dream. And we're not mean.
That's right.
We shine and we sheen. You know what I'm saying?
Because we have a dream. All right. That's right. You go ahead. You go ahead. You got bars.
Like stars, not stars.
Like stars. That's right.
So,
oh,
God, welcome again. Welcome again.
It's You Me Radio. Touching your airwaves like something you've never heard before.
You Me Radio.
Let's talk.
Relationships. On You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.